I'd really like to thank you for the invitation to return to Holy Covenant, especially on Trinity Sunday. Trinity Sunday, the one Sunday of the church's year when preachers aren't concerned about catching the flu a couple of days before. Perhaps it's because they're confused by the esoteric maths of three in one and one in three. Maybe they've used up all their brilliant illustrations, ice, water, steam, or the egg with its shell, yolk and white. And perhaps it's because they know that the doctrine of the Trinity has created more heretics, more schisms, more martyrs than any other doctrine, and don't want to take the risk. Perhaps it's because they like to preach biblically and find that the Bible has little to say on the Trinity. But we haven't taken the Sunday off. We are here gathered for worship on Trinity Sunday. Now this morning I want you to use your imaginations. I want you to imagine that you are an old man, and for some of us that won't stretch us too far. You're writing to the younger members of your church about your long journey with God. But you're not writing about yourself. You're writing about the one who transformed your life those long years ago, and whose name you are proud to be called when they call you a Christian, even if they say it with a sneer. You were a disciple. You had met him, listened to him, followed him, and for many years let him be the one who shaped your life in every part. And now you are writing what would be chosen as the fourth gospel and your three letters. Your testimony to Jesus, your meditations on what he had said and done, and your reflections on the meaning with which he has filled your life and the life of others too. You have long since left the synagogue. The parting had been bitter on both sides, which you still feel, but you have kept hold of that old truth that God is Father. He is the Father of creation, the Father of Abraham and the patriarchs, the Father of his people, our Father who art in heaven, as Jesus had taught you to pray. You look at the starry night and are moved with awe at this mighty God's power and authority. You look at the failings of his creation and are moved by his patience and courage, by how he continues, despite it all, to be merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. You look at your own frailty, moral and spiritual, and are moved by his understanding and his forgiving kindness. To call this great God Father is a privilege and a blessing, and this is how, over the centuries, he has made himself known. It is a title you use with respect, but it speaks to you of God's eternal care, which holds you and all life secure in those eternal arms which are underneath and round about you. This is the faith into which you were born, and this is the love which will not let you go. Then, as a young man and a believer, you met Jesus. He confirmed all that for you as he spoke and acted in the name of that God of eternal, fatherly love and authority. Like everyone else, you struggle to make sense of the man. What should you call him? What is he? Who is he? Those have been the questions. Was he a teacher? Of course, but more than a teacher. A healer? Yes, and more. A prophet? Undoubtedly. The Messiah? Yes, and more than Messiah. Whatever you called him, he had an amazing presence. He was the awesome holiness of God personified. He was God's glory made visible in the flesh. He was the love of God in action. He was killed, but you had received him back again. And though it stretched your mind and your words to breaking point, You had to call him Lord and God. It was as if looking at Jesus, you felt you were seeing right into the heart of God, that he was the human face of God. In the end, that was the only way you could think of him, as Son of God, as God with us. But Jesus was not with you anymore, at least not like he had been in Galilee and Jerusalem, nor like he had been so briefly after his death. But there was no denying his real presence. It was as if he was with you, almost at times tangibly, when you gathered together in worship, in the quiet of the silences, in the power of preaching, in the study of the scriptures, in the emotion of the singing, in the joy of forgiveness, and many said, nearest of all, in the breaking of the bread. It was as if he was with you, in the love that bound you and all together in unity, in the common sense of purpose, in the warmth of fellowship, in the solitary moments, a companion, a voice, an inner calm and peace which passed all understanding, or a stirring, challenging, insistent, uncomfortable presence which drove you on. Either way, among you and within you, it was as if Jesus was there, not a dead hero, a voice from the past, or a memory, however dear, but a presence real and consistent, a spiritual presence. You had struggled for the words for this as you wrote your meditations, and you still weren't quite sure that the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit and Comforter, said what you really wanted to say. So here you are, John, struggling after a lifetime to talk about God. You know that there is only one God and that God is one. But you want to find words to speak of how you experience him and invite others to experience him too. You experience him as Father, Creator and Sustainer of life, exalted in power and glory as Lord God, yet rich in sympathy, kindness and love. You experience him as the man, Jesus of Nazareth, God's anointed one, who had lived so amazingly and still lived, risen, ascended, glorified. You experience him as the Spirit, the holy and life-giving presence within you and among you and your brothers and sisters. The one eternal God, encountered and experienced as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is the good news you want to share. You don't use the Trinity word, but you want people to have a Trinity experience. Perhaps that is what Trinity Sunday might be about. If the theory of the Trinity is difficult to comprehend, don't worry, just enjoy the three different faces of God. In the name of God the Father who created us, in the name of God the Son who suffered for us and redeemed us, in the name of God the Holy Spirit who strengthens, sustains, and empowers us for ministry. Amen.